Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving, Christian nationalist patriots. Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt, episode 23-29. On this 17th day of September, which this is a very significant day, and I must say it now, happy Constitution Day. That's right. The Constitution was signed on September 17th. And I am going to talk about the Constitution in segment two. An amazing document, absolutely amazing document that is unlike anything else in the world and definitely unlike anything else before it. The most brilliant men that we could so use today. We do have them with us, actually, in spirit. We have their writings, their teachings, their speeches, the instruments that they used to form the most amazing, exceptional nation on the face of the earth ever in history. That's our beloved United States of America, which communists and globalists and other godless types are utterly destroying right before our eyes. So we are going to talk about the Constitution. In segment three, I'm going to talk about The youth, they're talking about raising the age to 21 for purchasing firearms and loosening up on crimes by, you know, juvenile crimes, because all of these studies are showing that their brains aren't fully developed. So you can't hold them accountable. You can't hold them responsible, at least not as responsible as an adult doing the same murder, or any other heinous crime. So, you know, we need to reevaluate that. Maybe we're a little hard on them, you know, and because they're still developing, it's just not responsible for our culture to let somebody have access to a firearm if they're under 21. So that's the rationale. We're going to peel that apart when we get to that in segment three. But first, the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher over at Prepping 2.0. The website is prepping2-0.com. Check them out. All right, first up, Zero Hedge. Listen to this. Interesting. Don't say anything bad about Ukraine, even though they're getting annihilated over there. One of their units, the commander just said they're 90% losses as they continue keeping this World War III pre-show going. But this transgender spokesperson says Ukraine will hunt down Russian propagandists around the world coming after you, no matter where you are. So-called Sarah Ashton Cirillo, the transgender ex-journalist from the U.S., who is now a spokesperson for Ukraine's territorial defense forces, has issued yet another bizarre and unhinged statement on behalf of the Ukrainian military. The military spokesperson is vowing that Russia's propagandists will be hunted down in a message which was published days ago, but which is now going viral and being mocked. Well, as it should. Next, China, Cuba, Russia, and 16 other countries, according to Eciro, China, Cuba, Russia, and 16 other countries participated in the 2023 military parade, as happens year after year as part of the celebration for the Mexico's independence. The president of Mexico leads the traditional military civic parade, in which in addition to the Mexican Army and National Guard, this September 16th, also 19 foreign delegations participate. as a sign of close cooperation and good international relations. That should make you feel nice and warm and fuzzy right there across our southern border, which is being invaded, by the way. The country's invited to the 213th anniversary of the beginning of the historic feat are El Salvador, Ecuador, Cuba, Colombia, Chile, Panama, Nicaragua, Nepal, Guatemala, Honduras, Russia, Dominican Republic, South Korea, Brazil, Belize, Uruguay, Venezuela, Sri Lanka, and China. That's just not good. And South Korea, what are you doing over there, by the way? And the Dominican Republic. Most of these other countries are, maybe besides Chile, is they've gone communist. They've had their own coups, which, by the way, there's another coup happening right now in Africa. Well, I believe it's Congo. I had that. I was going to pull it into my notes. But, yeah, their president took off for this United Nations meeting this week. And as soon as he left, one of his top security guys led this coup, which is underway right now. And an otherwise very stable country. Well, not now. So the landscape continues to shift. And also from California Governor Gavin Newsom's Facebook account, he just announced new California just became the first state in the nation to officially propose an amendment to the United States Constitution to end our nation's gun violence crisis. That's right. So, if you keep getting flack for breaking the Constitution, violating the Constitution, let's just rewrite the Constitution. So now we won't be in violation of it. Well, no thanks, commies. So he says it's time to enshrine four widely supported gun safety freedoms. Well, of course, they don't mention that they're four widely ineffective measures. But first of all, raising the minimum age to purchase a gun to 21, which I'm looking forward to talking about in segment three. Universal background checks. That should scare you, too. A reasonable waiting period for gun purchases. Of course, only the communists get to arbitrarily decide what a reasonable period is. And banning civilian purchases of assault weapons. So only the tyrants can have them. And he says, no more waiting around for Congress. It's time to act. Well, Congress's primary job is to defend the rights of the citizens. So your proposal to amend the United States Constitution is denied. Western Journal. These Democratic governors are on a roll. This Democratic Colorado Governor Jared Polis has issued an executive order directing state-run facilities to phase out the use of gas-powered lawn care equipment. This executive order requires mass replacement of gas-powered lawn equipment. So when Democrats say they aren't looking to take something away from you, it is a sure sign that they are indeed looking to take something away from you. Maybe not right now, but it's coming. And gas-powered anything is high on that list, according to Western Journal's article. Polis signed his executive order on Wednesday, saying that his goal is to reduce air pollution and advance water conservation. The order directs state departments to phase out the use of gas-powered push and handheld lawn and garden equipment with internal combustion engines by June 1st, 2025. That's coming up. That's what, 18 months from now? So all of these lawn care companies that have contracts with the state, oh no, put that back in your truck. No gas engines here. It has to be electric. What a train wreck. Oh, speaking of train wrecks and failed Democrat policies, listen to this from the Postmillennial. Washington State, thanks Governor Inslee. Washington State spends $143 million to get 126 out of homelessness. So 126 people going to be brought out of homelessness, but they're going to spend $143 million to get that done. That's over $1 million spent per person to get them out of homelessness. That's $1,137,256 per person to exit homelessness. Man, I'm feeling homeless actually right now. I think I could use that. If they could just cut me a check for $1.1 million, I promise I won't be homeless. You'll cure me of homelessness if you would just help me out there, Washington State. That'd be great. And, oh boy, here we go. 100% fed up. Health officials are now on alert from this new pathogen, which has up to a 75% fatality rate. And they are saying this came out of India. It's the same virus pathogen outbreak that is in the movie Contagion. So this is, you know, the real virus. Now it kills up to 75% of the people who get it, and two people have died. So do the math. I don't know. So maybe three people got it. I don't know. But so far, two people have died from it. So hey, just as long as it's just in time for election season, that's all right. And what else do we got here? Ford losing $32,000 on every electric vehicle that it sells. Well, of course, the workers are striking. And Joe Biden has dispatched two of his top aides to Detroit to help resolve the strike, expressing sympathy for the union by suggesting that the big three automakers should share their record profits. So that's Biden's response. That's typical communist Marxist response. The big three automakers, to help resolve this, should share their record profits. Well, they do share their record profits, actually, with their shareholders. And I don't think there's a law against their workers buying shares in the big three automakers, is there? They can become shareholders too. And then so when they share, they will be taking part of that. Matter of fact, I'm sure they probably do get shares as part of their employment. So anyway, well, that's coming from the Biden regime. So take that with a grain of salt. And what else here? Boy, there's a lot of other stuff in the news. But, you know, let's go ahead and take a break and come back. Segment two, I'm going to talk about the Constitution. It's Constitution Day. And we're excited about that. And it's time for us to talk about our heritage. But we're also going to bring that forward to today. We've got a serious problem. And people have been saying this for a long time. We have a constitutional crisis in America. And it's almost, if not past the point of irreparable already. But anyway, it's a beloved document that makes us unique and exceptional, and we're going to talk about that when we come back. So stick around. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
One podcast dares to be different.
This is the final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. We will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. We will rout the fake news media, and we will liberate America from these villains once and for all.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
All right, awesome Patriots. Welcome back to segment two of episode 2329. And this segment, we're going to talk about the Constitution. So I want to, last week when I covered that alt market article, it's time to bring back citizen militias. I got some feedback on that. And everybody is in agreement, but the question is how do we go about that? Well, and sad that we're at the point now where patriots have forgotten how to do that when it was very much a very prominent part of the American landscape. Of course, a lot of that has to do with the that scares tyrants, that scares communists and globalists. So they've worked overtime demonizing the militias and maligning people that are in militias and skewing the history related to that. So I'm going to come back to that topic, not tonight, but let's go back to another part of our American heritage. And this is really what it is. Many in the militias have taken oaths as military personnel. Anytime you serve in government as a public servant, elected official, you take an oath, whether you're a judge, the president, or Private Snuffy going in the army, your city councilman, your governor, your legislators, your sheriff, anybody who's elected takes an oath or enlisted. So there are several wonderful resources that I like to point people to. One of those is Wall Builders. If you want to know about your American heritage and learn about the Constitution, Wall Builders is absolutely just astounding. The other one is Hillsdale College. They offer free courses to learn about the Constitution. They break it down and they make it very understandable. And finally, Prager University, PragerU. And you can go to, I think it's PragerU.com. I subscribe to them and Hillsdale and Wall Builders. Amazing resources. So I want to take the PragerU has 5-minute videos broken down covering multiple different topics. It could be socio-political. It could be dealing with, you know, Black Lives Matter. What is fascism? Why are we a constitutional republic? You know, just kind of a real broad spectrum of patriot-y type of topics and materials, especially from a Christian patriot perspective. And they really dive into our heritage and our history of why we're exceptional. So this particular video is by Robert George. He is let me see if I can pull it up here real quick. He is a professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University, and for PragerU, explores the problems the founders faced at this pivotal moment in history. And it says, winning the War of Independence brought a new challenge to the American people. What sort of government should they choose for their new nation? And the title of this video, which I'm going to play the audio for you, it's about 5 minutes. That's why they're called 5-minute videos. It's just a little over 5 minutes. And it's titled, The Constitution, Why a Republic? Just to kind of whet your appetite so you can hear just a taste of what they have over there, for you to begin learning about your Constitution and history and our heritage. So take a listen to Princeton professor Robert George discussing the Constitution, Why a Republic.
Against all odds, the Americans won their War of Independence. But their success brought a new challenge, no less daunting. What sort of government should they choose for themselves? How could they ensure that the tyranny of the English king, George III, would not be replaced by a homegrown tyranny? One possibility was to establish an American monarchy with a better king. That was tempting for some, especially because they had a superb person for the job, General George Washington. To his legion of admirers, the fact that he did not want to be king made him an even more attractive candidate. The other possibility was to establish a republic, a government of and by the people and their representatives. But this solution came with a big problem. Historically, republics like those in ancient Greece and Rome had always failed. And when they failed, they were usually replaced by the very worst, most oppressive forms of tyranny. Might there be a way to make republicanism work and last? To structure a constitution that would protect the new American republic from the social and political pathologies that had destroyed republics throughout history? America's founding fathers, men like Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Alexander Hamilton, and James Madison, believed they had answers. They had risked everything when they declared their independence from England. They were willing to risk everything again to create a new, different, and better type of republic. The key, they all agreed, was to establish structural limits on power, the power of anyone and any institution exercising governmental authority. In the summer of 1787, in one of the most creative acts in human history, these men, minus Jefferson and Adams, who were serving the country abroad, fashioned a national government divided into three separate parts or branches: the legislative, Congress, the executive, the president, and the judicial, the courts. Congress would make the laws, the executive would execute the laws, and the courts would settle disputes arising under the Constitution and laws of the United States. Dividing power would prevent power being concentrated in any one branch, the concept of checks and balances. Moreover, the central government would be limited to the powers specifically delegated to it, having no powers beyond those enumerated. Where then would most of the powers of government reside? The answer was with the states. This was not, as some wrongly suppose, done to protect slavery. Rather, it was done out of the common sense belief that those public officials nearer to the people would naturally be more responsive and accountable to the people. Just to make sure nobody missed the point, after attaching a Bill of Rights to the Constitution, the founders enshrined this principle in the 10th Amendment. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. In short, whatever the Constitution does not specifically delegate to the national government belongs to the states and the people. But the power of the states was also limited by constitutional prohibitions in certain areas, either because power in those areas had been delegated exclusively to the national government, such as the power to enter into treaties with other nations, or because the framers did not want government at any level to have certain powers, such as the power to confer titles of nobility, something incompatible with republicanism. Still, as much care as the framers took to constrain government power, federal and state, they knew their efforts would fail unless one more component was present: citizens imbued with the spirit of republicanism, people who understood the principles of their constitution, who valued self-government, and who would be willing to do the work necessary for its maintenance. Citizens who would not yield to demagogues who promised prosperity, security, or anything else at the price of liberty. James Madison had this in mind when he said that only a well-instructed people could be permanently a free people. By a well-instructed people, Madison meant above all a people well-educated about our constitutional liberties and responsibilities. When, at the conclusion of the Constitutional Convention, a woman asked Benjamin Franklin what kind of government he and the others had proposed for the nation, he famously responded, "A republic, madam, if you can keep it." The wise old Philadelphia polymath had history in mind in giving that answer. He knew that he and his colleagues at the convention had supplied only the mechanics of what was needed for a republic to long endure. The rest could only be supplied by we the people, understanding and fulfilling our duties as citizens. That's why studying the Constitution is essential. How can we fulfill our duties as citizens if we don't understand the document on which that citizenship is based? I'm Robert George, professor of jurisprudence and director of the James Madison Program at Princeton University for Prager University.
There, isn't that pretty cool? And they've got tons of these videos. And I would recommend start with the Constitution. And when you go to their 5-minute videos, you click that button. And across the top, there's a series of tabs. On the far right side, it's labeled U.S. Constitution or the Constitution. And you'll see that video and a whole bunch more in that series. So I want to jump forward real quick and talk about the Constitution. This is from a show, the Dan Happel Show. More importantly, he interviewed General Vallely. And if you don't know, General Vallely is a major general. He's retired, patriot. He retired in 1992 for the U.S. Army as Deputy Commanding General, U.S. Army Pacific. So, and he's got a long resume. Solid guy, really, and he's on Fox News and others, radio shows. Okay, so he talks about Article 4, Section 4. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government. And of course, if you listen into Radio Free Redoubt, especially the morning commute, we talk about that a lot. And that's kind of the cornerstone for Lady Liberty's book, 444. But after that, it says, and shall protect each of them. This is the United States shall protect each of them against invasion, each of the states, and on application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. So this is from General Vallely. This was to guarantee that each state of the Union was protected against invasion by foreign nations, revolutionary forces, drug cartels, and uncontrolled, that means illegal, immigration. If we cannot control our borders, we cannot defend our national sovereignty. It's that simple. This week, we will hear from Major General Paul Vallely, retired, and border security expert Chuck Floyd about a plan being considered by President Trump to use National Guard and U.S. military forces in coordination with the U.S. Border Patrol in an effort to end the flow of illegal aliens, drugs, human trafficking, gang, terrorists, sleeper cells into the United States. This is a very constitutional and legal use of military resources and represents a paradigm shift from the open border policies being promoted by generations of socialist progressives and globalists at leadership positions within our government. That's a pretty good interview. I didn't listen to all of it, but pretty much everything I've ever heard General Vallely discuss, you know, he's on point. Now, in President Trump's first term, this is when I was saying, why are the military not on the border? Like by the end of the first week, should have had them deployed. But that's one of the things that he's going to be at the top of his agenda when he gets back in. But they take an oath to defend their Constitution, to defend, to uphold and defend. Defend is not a passive, it is an active measure. You don't just sit there and see unconstitutional things happening, and then if somebody brings it up, then you'll address it. You're supposed to go after Constitution violations and the violations of the citizens' rights. Doesn't always happen, and it's not happening right now, sadly, especially since the coup of 2020, finalized on January 6th of 2021. There's your misinformation for the week, if you ask the fact checkers anyway. So I want to take you to a quote by, and this was just like 58 BC. I mean, this is just 28 years after Christ, written by Marcus Tullius Cicero. And he says, a nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. The traitor is the plague. And that goes for most of the people in Congress, the rhinos, the Democrats, the executive branch right now, most governors. It's epidemic. Let's just look at Biden with the border. And here's just one story among hundreds and hundreds. This one from Police Frequency. 2,000 migrants from around the world have been dumped in San Diego County in 4 days. The Biden administration, regime, is rolling out the red carpet for this chaos, showing zero concern for our region's resources. State and local politicians are offering legal protection and free taxpayer-funded benefits, only encouraging this to continue. We can't have a country without a border. And that's coming from Supervisor Jim Desmond. And we are seeing record numbers of Chinese, African Muslims, hundreds of people on terror watch lists. And these are overwhelmingly military-aged males. They're not families, just like we're seeing in Spain and Italy and all over Europe right now. It's the same thing. This is the planned chaos and dismantling of the West. And the United States is right in the crosshairs along with Europe. So let's talk about this New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, a week and a half ago, who signed this emergency order banning both open and concealed firearms in Albuquerque and surrounding Bernalillo County on Friday, setting off a stream of outrage and blah, blah, blah. That's a strict violation of the Constitution. Her own state attorney general, law enforcement, and her response is, it's not law enforcement's place to tell me what's constitutional and unconstitutional. As if she's offended because they're trying to tell her what to do, but they're really warning her that she's breaking the law. This is the problem. The lawbreakers are not being held accountable. Violating your oath of office is a federal crime. All public office holders, law enforcement officers, and military personnel swear an oath to office to uphold the Constitution. So, let me share this with you. Federal law regulating oath of office by government officials is divided into four parts, along with an executive order, which further defines the law for purposes of enforcement. That's 5 U.S.C. 3331, provides the text of the actual oath of the office members of Congress are required to take before assuming office. 5 U.S.C. 3333 requires members of Congress to sign an affidavit that they have taken the oath of office required by 5 U.S.C. 3331 and have not or will not violate that oath of office during their tenure or of office as defined by the third part of the law, that's 5 U.S.C. 7311, which explicitly makes it a federal criminal offense and a violation of oath of office for anyone employed in the United States government, including members of Congress, to advocate for the overthrow of our constitutional form of government. Any other form of government besides a republic is a violation of Article 4, Section 4, and of course their oath. The fourth federal law, 18 U.S.C. 1918, provides penalties for violations of the oath of office described in 5 U.S.C. 7311, which includes removal from office and confinement or a fine. So what we need to do now as American citizens, patriots, we should be outraged and screaming from the rooftops for Congress and the state governments and the state attorneys general to be holding these oath breakers criminally liable. They're openly breaking the law. They are openly violating their oaths, and they are committing treason to our country, especially by leaving our border wide open. And why this is not being screamed from the rooftops, they're sitting there wagging their finger at the Mayorkas, usually feels like once a week, about why he's not doing his job. But then what? Nothing. This has got to change. Anyway, happy Constitution Day, patriots. We'll be right back with segment three coming up, talking about juvenile crime. 21 years old should be the age to buy a firearm. It should be the new Constitution. That's what Gavin Newsom says. Well, we beg to differ. We'll be right back.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
All right, this is segment three of Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome back, patriots. And hey, you know that we are live streaming every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Pacific. And you can go to, if you go to the Listen to RFR tab, there's a link, even though it's a previous description from a previous live show, I think from May. I'd have to look again. That will still take you to the live show whenever we're live streaming. So if you just click on that, it will load up the show that we are streaming. And we always stream Wall Builders the 30 minutes prior to the beginning of the show at 8. And then afterward, we play a old-time radio. Right now, we're going through the series of Cloak and Dagger, Tales from the OSS. Pretty cool stuff. All right, before I get into this, juvenile crime, mental development, 21-year-old firearm thing. I wanted to go back, and it is Congo. So, Sunday evening, 79-year-old President Denis Sassou Nguesso is absent from the country on his way to the UN. And a couple of hours ago, arrived in New York to attend the 78th UN General Assembly. At the same time a coup has begun, the army is taking control of key installations in the capital of Brazzaville. Congo borders the Central African Republic, where the Russian presence is strong. According to preliminary information, the coup is led by a commander of the Presidential Guard. And that's coming from the Telegram channel Ukraine Watch. So we are keeping an eye on that. That whole belt across the Central African continent, is these nations are falling down, one coup after another. More destabilization. So I thought I would throw that out there. All right, let's talk about juvenile crime here just for a moment. right now there's this big argument about not trying juveniles for capital crimes, not charging them as adults, because there are some considerations. Their brains are still developing. And now all this, not just now, but there seems to be more now than there was, scientific research on the development of adolescent brains. And so they're using this as the rationale for restricting gun ownership until the age of 21. Of course, they're never going to be happy with that. They'll have to make it 25 at some point, and they'll just keep, well, until they just ban guns for all ages, right? So they're saying that that juveniles have a lack of brain development and a lack of cognitive decision-making skills, so they can't be trusted with, it's just irresponsible for society to let them have something as dangerous as a firearm. And they're also saying that, you know, this is the reason why we should not be trying them as adults and being so harsh with them. We need to, you know, give them some slack, right? But it's interesting. Let me just go through just one of these, because here's the thing. The product of today's culture and our government indoctrination is the result of that is 30-year-olds who don't have brains developed. I mean, you could take a homeschooled kid, a 15-year-old who has far superior rationale and rational cognitive reasoning ability than a 30-year-old being raised on TikTok in government indoctrination facilities. So, I mean, it's just a fact. You've got homeschool kids with AR-15s who aren't shooting anything up or anybody up. They're not in and out of jail. Now here's just one example. This is from Harvard. Harvard.edu, juvenile justice. How can the law reflect what we know about the brain? Scientists and clinicians interested in the practical application of neuroscience have created a substantive body of work that should inform juvenile justice policy. The MacArthur Foundation Research Network and Adolescent Development and Juvenile Justice established and expanded the knowledge base of adolescence and crime and dissemination of that knowledge to juvenile justice practitioners and policymakers has played a critical role in policy change. So they are calling, let me just read some of this. Researchers have taken to the popular press as well to advance a developmentally appropriate juvenile justice system in the areas of prevention and treatment. Op-eds such as Why Teenagers Act Crazy and Friends Can Be Dangerous, both of those were in New York Times, seek to communicate understandings about the brain to the public to protect adolescent development and prevent adolescent crime. Other pieces, including How Solitary Confinement Hurts the Teenage Brain. That's, solitary confinement hurts everybody's brain, whether you're an adult or a kid. But they don't talk about all the other stuff that hurts the teenage brain. It's just, you know, the consequences of their stupidity. And look, I did stupid stuff when I was a teenager, and I got in trouble for it, and I deserved it. Actually, I deserved probably more than what I got. But the Prisoners of Profit series and Locking Up Kids for Life all seek to address imminent legal and treatment-related issues within the juvenile justice system. As part of PBS's Brains on Trial programming with Alan Alda, they talk about this show, this series, they authored this important, this Gene Barrison, who's part of this, authored an important commentary on teens and criminal responsibility, mental health services for youth in detention, assessing violence risk in kids, and the workings of the adolescent brain. Okay, so all of this narrative is going toward let off the pressure on the kids, they're just developing. Well, this has become the science, politicized science, has been twisted into saying, hey, That's why they can't have guns. This is one of the components of adolescents' brains are developing, which is one of the components of this leading to crime. So let's restrict them from having firearms until they're 21. Well, I just saw a video of these kids sideswiping a car, inner city urban kids, and then they run down a retired police chief who's on a bicycle ride. They just pick him as a random target and hit him direct head on, killed him. Not head on. I mean, they came up from behind, drilled him. He hits the windshield, goes up over the car, and they're laughing and just keep taking off down the road. So my argument is, how about if they don't get a driver's license? Hey, politicians, hey, Gavin Newsom, why don't you advocate that kids can't get a driver's license and drive a 3,500-pound bullet down the road because they don't have the cognitive reasoning skills and they're not mentally developed? No driver's license until you're 21. But see, these Democrats, they want to give illegal aliens driver's licenses who are also killing people on the roads. It's insane. They're absolutely insane. So, and since we're on that line of they don't have fully developed cognitive reasoning ability, how about if they don't vote until they're 21? Because they cannot make good decisions. And we can make that 25 years old too. But there again, it's a cultural issue. The products, and maybe that should be the defining line. If you are the product of a public school system, you don't get to vote until you're 25. If you're homeschooled, you can vote at 16. Let's do that. Our country would change in less than a generation for the good. So I don't know if we're going to follow this line of logic, but see, it's actually so sinister that they're playing both sides of this. And let's go to the sexualization, because on one hand, kids shouldn't have to go to prison like adults because their brains aren't fully developed. They shouldn't be able to buy a firearm until they're 21 because their brains aren't fully developed. However, they're advocating for 16-year-olds to be able to vote, and they're advocating for 5-year-olds to be able to choose to make the rational decision that they want to mutilate their bodies, permanently altering their genitalia so they can never produce, they can never reverse the decision. And the same sickos that want to say you shouldn't be able to own a firearm until you're 21 have no problem with 18-year-olds going in the military, actually you can go in the military at 17 years old with a assault weapon in your hand, and you're trained and you start to learn responsibility. Oh, maybe we should take firearms away from all of our military personnel until they're 21. Well, because their brains aren't developed yet. That's Bravo Sierra. There are 15-year-olds. I had a Mini 14 when I was 14 years old. I hung drywall in the summertime and earned the money to make it, to buy it. And my kids were raised on firearms. The whole people of gun culture that I know of in the American redoubt, their kids have their own AR-15s. And they're responsible and they don't shoot anything up. They don't get in trouble with the law. They're not developmentally disabled. And I would trust them voting at 15 years old much more than some of these 30-year-olds whose brains are melted down. But the perverts at the same time are trying to convince you that a child can make a decision about sexuality as young as 5 years old. In fact, any age. California, Washington State, moving toward or past legislation that would take a child away from the parents if the parents do not affirm the child's sexual identity, pronouns. Hidden from the parents, not allowed to know where the kid is, treated like that they are in an abused meth lab environment that they need to be protected from by parents who are trying to protect them from the state. And that is, we have crossed the line. We are in full-blown tyranny at this point. The lies, the swirling lies on top of lies. So it's looking like the state and those who support them can't be trusted with decisions. Let's go back to the last segment, the Constitution. They need to be held accountable. They're a violation of the Constitution. They cannot, those that are in elected positions that are pushing for this insanity need to be treated like the insane people that they are. And all those camps that they're building for rational, clear-thinking adults about these COVID lockdowns, maybe we should turn those into insane asylums. And we should start with the people that are pushing the insanity on our children, depriving them of rights that they should have, and pushing things on them they should never be exposed to. All right, segment four coming up. Right after this, stay right there, Patriots. This wars and rumors of wars. 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 Wars and rumors of wars.
At the end of the day, either the communists win and destroy America, or we destroy the communists, because that's what they are.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Welcome back, Patriots, to the fourth and final segment. Going into the fall, it's already in the middle of September. Wow, 2023, where did it go? And I have a feeling we've got a bumpy road ahead of us. I've got Lady Liberty joining me in the studio. Good evening, Lady Liberty.
Well, good evening to you, and good evening, everyone out there. And welcome to Constitution Day, right?
Yes, that's right.
That is such a cool thing. I mean, that one kind of snuck up on us. It wasn't like we were planning for it. It was just, we just happened to run across it. We went, wow.
Oh, they always do. It's like Flag Day or it's, you know, something. April 19th, I always remember that. Of course, you know, 4th of July, Veterans Day. There's a few there that I keep an eye on a bit. That's one that always sneaks up on me.
Well, I'm going to have to just keep this marked on my calendar because I'm an especially big advocate of the Constitution, right?
Oh, yes.
It seems like people across the United States, senators and congressmen included, seem to say it's unconstitutional as if it has no legal bearing or prosecutability.
No consequences.
They just say, oh, that's unconstitutional, as in that's not cool.
Right. All right, I'll stop doing that then.
Yeah, that's unconstitutional. Right. Oh, that's just not cool. No, unconstitutional means that's flat out illegal and you can be sent to jail.
Look, if you rob a bank and you get caught, you don't go, all right, I'll put the money back.
Right.
I'm like, all right then.
Right.
Okay. And then everybody goes on about their business. And that's exactly what these guys do. In fact, even when they're told, look, warning, this is unconstitutional.
Right.
Well, then sue me. And if you win, then I'll stop doing it.
Yeah. No, that's not the way things work.
No.
The law is that you don't break the law or you go to jail.
And that's the problem right there.
It's like
there's no consequences.
Right. They're trying to mush a very definitive line into a very gray area of, oh, well, whatever. It's just not cool. It's just not cool to do that. No,
right.
It's illegal. It's prosecutable. You can spend your life in jail because you have broke the law.
I was reading legalconstitution.org.com, one of the sources that I use. And their, you know, one of their footnotes was, if all of the elected officials were prosecuted for violating their oaths and the Constitution, we wouldn't have hardly a Congress left.
That's right.
And I say, great, that's a great start.
Exactly. Get rid of the criminals.
Yep.
Put them in jail where they belong. Like everybody's just flippant dismissal of violating the oath of office. That is an actual crime. It is against the law.
Right.
And you can go to jail for violating your oath of office. And yet now everybody just kind of goes, oh, well, they just, you know, they didn't uphold their word. No, that is not the case.
Yeah.
That is not the case. It's not a slap on the hand punishment. That is flat out illegal. Just like
it's become accepted behavior. Well, politicians are just liars, is the way it is.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, this is a question special tailored for today, that, you know, Constitution Day. Does the law stand? And if the law stands, they must conform to it or be put in jail. You can't
right.
have crime sometimes. You can't have criminals sometimes.
We punish
you can't
it
have,
sometimes.
Yeah, we can't have law if we feel like it. That is not the definition of a law.
Right.
A law is something that is absolutely black and white. It cannot be broken. Or there are dire consequences. And I mean, especially
right.
especially the worse the crime gets, like treason. Treason has become such a thing that nobody even looks at the guy that's committing treason anymore, let alone accusing him of treason because it's the death penalty. And so now,
right.
you know, everybody knows he's committing treason. Biden is committing treason by funneling all of our money, stealing our nation,
yes.
robbing our nation blind.
Plundering.
Just sending it all to Ukraine, who's basically just a middleman money launderer.
And just leaving our border wide open.
Leaving our border wide open. All of these are treasonous offenses.
Yes.
Punishable by death.
Right.
And yet everybody knows it and nobody will even look at it or address it. This is a phenomenal occurrence that is happening.
Right.
And just the fact that you and I can't do this, you and I can't even show up at the Capitol peacefully
right.
without being held in prison indefinitely
right.
Against our will and then sentenced to life on bogus charges. Meanwhile, the guy that is in the highest office in the land is committing treason day after day after day with absolutely verifiable evidence.
Well,
Congress has evidence in their hands.
Yeah, there has been a shift, a fundamental shift in the whole thinking. And what I mean is, let's take this situation in New Mexico, okay? A ban on firearms, which is clearly unconstitutional.
Right.
They have an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution.
That's right.
All right. So that doesn't mean I'm going to stand there and watch you beat this old lady to death or beat her up to rob her. And then when you run away, then I'm going to go and I'm going to give her the best first aid I know how.
Right.
You're not defending right. her, right?
Right? Yeah.
Okay, so what's happening is like the sheriff, and everybody went, oh, this is awesome. The sheriff says it's unconstitutional. No way will he enforce it. What he's saying is, I won't break the Constitution,
right?
Right?
Yep.
But if anybody else does, I'm not going to intervene either. So he'll uphold the Constitution, but not defend the Constitution.
Right, exactly.
Which is another critical part of the oath. When you see somebody whose rights are being violated, you have a duty to defend the Constitution then. Defend those citizens' rights.
Absolutely. Yeah, yep. which that means if you are observing somebody breaking the law, and by the law, I mean the Constitution.
Right.
If you see somebody breaking the law of the Constitution, it is your job to make sure they're charged with their crimes. Because if you see them doing that and you refuse to do that, what does that make you?
An oath breaker.
No, that makes you an accomplice, basically. If you know somebody is committing a crime, you've watched them commit a crime and you do nothing about it, you don't turn them in,
especially when it's your duty. That
makes
job.
You an accomplice.
Right.
And so that makes you just as guilty. You know, the penalty is not going to be as severe for you, but you're still guilty under the law.
Right.
If you know somebody has committed a crime, you've seen them do it and you do nothing.
Right.
And so anybody else that sees this happen, and you know, the people are brought up on these charges all the time. This murderer and his accomplice.
Right.
Right? They're both charged with crimes. And so this is almost like beating a dead horse, because under a communist coup, what happens? None of the criminals are prosecuted. Why? Because they are taking over a nation under the form of a coup.
And anyone who stands against them is prosecuted.
That's right.
For interfering with official business.
That's right. This is
right.
Basically like an invasion. It's like a passive aggressive invasion. You
right.
know what I mean? Where what Americans are used to, when you think of invasion, you think of somebody storms in on your beaches, they bring their weapons, they bring
right.
arms, and they start attacking with arms. Well, that would be an aggressive, overt act of war.
Yes.
Well, what about the passive aggressive coup?
Yes.
That comes from the inside. They steal the elections. They refuse to prosecute any more criminals.
Right.
They allow treason in the highest office of the land, and they do nothing. That is the very definition of a coup.
And then they use the sneaky, slimy language of, we're supposed to have a peaceful transfer of power. And
oh, yes.
You're disrupting a peaceful transfer of power. Well,
yes, that is much.
That means I'm going to take your country over without a fight.
And don't do anything about it.
You better not fight.
Yeah, that is exactly akin to the statement of trust the plan.
Right.
You
exactly.
know what? That is a means of pacifying anybody that might actually start and organize an opposition.
Right. There's your controlled opposition right there.
There it is.
That's the Q thing.
That is the Lenin tactic,
right.
Where you become the opposition.
Right. The military's about ready to make its move. They're going to arrest all of them. Everybody just don't do anything. Trust the plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That is a controlled opposition by the perps themselves.
Right.
And that is definitely the Stalin tactic. And that is what he taught all of his followers. And so this is what we're up against. And so I want you to listen to this clip from Senator Josh Hawley. And Hawley, who's very bright and very much on top of things, and yet he's still falling victim to this same problem. Listen to what we have.
Senator Hawley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to the witnesses for being here. I think it's safe to say that all of you are here today because you are opposed to government censorship. Is that right? Have I got that broadly correct? Okay, we can agree on that much. Book banning is a form of government censorship. Is that broadly speaking correct? Professor Knox, you're an expert in this. Let me just ask you. Book banning is a problem under the First Amendment because it's the government telling private individuals, authors, what have you, what they can and cannot write, telling the public what they can and cannot read. Is that broadly speaking correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So now what if the books were digital only? Could the government ban them then? So no hard copies, no physical copies, it's just digital books. Could the government engage in book banning then under the First Amendment? No problem.
No, that's about a format of the particular book, and that really doesn't matter when it comes to whether or not government is banning a book.
Okay, what if the government made a list of authors whose books it wanted banned, and also went to all of the publishing houses in America, the government did, and said, do not publish the books by any of these authors or we will punish you. Is that a problem under the First Amendment?
My hope is that the government would not be involved in the decisions of a private company.
Good. I would hope so, too. But apparently that is not the case in the United States of America today under this administration, because the hypotheticals I've just given you aren't hypotheticals at all. They've happened. And we know that they are happening. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals just ruled in a case, Missouri versus Biden. I'm sure you're all familiar with this. It's going to go down, I think, as a landmark case in the worst possible way in First Amendment law, because what the Court of Appeals found is that the White House, not just the federal government, but the White House actively coerced every major social media platform in America. Let me say that again. Every major social media platform in America to ban speech that the White House did not like. What are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about speech on the COVID-19 pandemic, speech on the 2022 congressional elections, speech related to mask mandates, speech related to vaccines. What did the White House do? Well, over a period of years, they met with, on a regular basis, the leaders of social media companies and demanded that the speech they did not like be taken down. They further demanded that these same social media companies amplify the White House's speech. Amazing. So take down all of this speech that we don't like, amplify our own speech. Unbelievable. What kind of speech are we talking about? Well, for example, not just public officials, but parents.
Yeah, now, see, that is a great example of a grilling from Congress, holding somebody to account by getting them to state, you know, what would be illegal, demonstrating that what the government is doing is illegal, and then what? The big question mark.
Right. Nothing.
And then they say, thank you for your time. Go away. Next.
Right. No, that is absolutely unacceptable. He showed very clearly it's against the law.
Right.
And it's like saying, like I was saying, if somebody says it's unconstitutional, that is now being compared to and weighed with the same statement as unconstitutional equals uncool. No, that is not what unconstitutional ever will be. Unconstitutional means flat out illegal as it gets. You go to jail.
And so, until it's treated like it's illegal, it's going to continue.
Exactly. And so what he said here specifically in the title of this clip is, it says, Senator Josh Hawley states to the Judiciary Committee and brings the receipts to show that Biden is engaged in un-American censorship of U.S. citizens. Well, the wrong word used there was un-American censorship. No, that is illegal. That is illegal as can be, according to the supreme law of the land. We'll just leave the word Constitution out, since so many people seem to be tripping it up with meaning cool or uncool. It's not that. It's the law. And so the supreme law of the land, Amendment Number 1, says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
Yes.
That is prosecutable with prison time if you violate that supreme law of the land, Amendment 1.
Yeah.
And so when he's describing an un-American censorship of U.S. citizens, he watered that down in a very unfortunate manner, especially considering, like I said, he's so bright. He's an attorney himself. Why would he let that slip into just an un-American thing to do instead of a flat-out illegal, you need to go to jail thing to do?
Well, that's supported in 18 U.S. Code Title 242, which is titled Deprivation of Rights Under the Color of Law. Yep. So there's a second charge. First, you have breaking of the oath. Okay, violating your oath is a crime in and of itself. Title 18, 242 says, whoever, under the color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom, willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or the laws of the United States, or to different punishments, pains, or penalties on account of such a person being an alien or by reason of his color or race, then are prescribed for the punishment of citizens shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. Deprivation of rights.
That's right. Yep. There you go. And in fact, we were referring to another list of case law that supports the Constitution, as all case law must, in order for it to have any validity. And this right here describes where rights as secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which will abrogate them. That's Miranda versus Arizona, 384 U.S. 436 at 491 from the year 1966.
Yep.
And so these are all things that have been in line, not in conflict with the supreme law of the land.
Right.
All the courts have always upheld the law until this past, you know, probably 10 years where they've actually tried to remove the Constitution from the lower courts, saying these are no longer constitutional courts. These are now case law courts. And if you bring up the Constitution, they actually stop and make anything said about the Constitution stop being said.
Right. Remove that from the record.
Yeah. Yep. I've actually been present in cases where somebody has brought up the Constitution and they will stop it. They actually stop all speaking about it and they strike it.
And they'll dismiss case law that disagrees with their agenda.
Right.
Because there's case law out there that they could use that says any law that's in violation of the Constitution is no law at all and unenforceable, as if it had never been written.
Right.
You know, so.
And so, yeah, so this is, being that this is Constitution Day, we have got to understand that people have to step up and start prosecuting these people, and not just prosecuting them, but prosecuting everyone involved that refuses to follow the law along the way.
That's right.
Because if people don't stand up and actually force the law to be adhered to, nobody will adhere to it.
Yeah.
Except for when they come for us. When they come for us individually, they drag us out with SWAT teams. We have no rights. They recognize no legal rights. You're basically just kidnapped at that point, because they're making up laws as they go that are absolutely in conflict with the Constitution.
Yes.
And so we have to understand that what we refuse to stand up and defend as law is going to come against us.
Yes.
And so this is extremely important for everyone to understand on Constitution Day, that you must be willing, even if you don't expect anybody in the prosecutor's office to uphold any charges that you file against these criminals in office for violating their oaths of office, for violating your constitutional rights. If you don't even start the charge because you don't think that you have a chance, well, you've already guaranteed you don't have a chance.
Right.
Unless you start working the system the way it was designed to be used against criminals, we have no chance at all. So just, it doesn't cost anything to file criminal charges against a criminal.
Right.
Just do it at your sheriff's office. Find out what part of the law is in effect and what isn't. And just remember that when you find the part that is no longer in effect, you can challenge it and you can win. You might have to, you know, keep the fight going for a while, but don't you think it's worth it? I think it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great discussion and a great way to end Constitution Day.
That's
and,
right.
Plenty for folks to chew on and think about throughout the week, especially as you go to those resources that I told you about. Wallbuilders.com, Prager University, or Prager U, and Hillsdale College, all with free information about the Constitution that walks you through step by step in very manageable, easily digestible chunks that you can go through from Constitution 101 all the way through and as deep as you want to dive into it. But we as citizens have a duty to learn about this stuff.
That's right. And one last thing, as we're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this week on the morning commute, we're discussing our right to judge. Our right to judge matters of weight and matters of simple nature as well. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 6:2, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world?" So be prepared. Right. We also are going to be the ones that judge the angels.
That's right.
And so if we don't know the law and how to uphold the law, how to enforce the law, what to expect from the law, how will we ever be able to serve the Lord in that respect?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you for that, Lady Liberty. Much appreciated.
Yep. You're welcome.
All right. Well, you guys have a blessed week. We'll go ahead and close this out. Stick around for our live listeners Sunday evening for another episode of Cloak and Dagger coming up. And otherwise, join us every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time for the morning commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. And otherwise, we'll talk to you next weekend. This is Radio Free Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Good night.